very welcome to Liberty this morning. If this is your first time, or your 100th time, you're very welcome. I know there's a lot of people up at Open Skies Festival, and I'm sure they're having a great time this weekend. And it's great to have, it wasn't it great seeing all the kids go down? And you know, over the last while we've changed a bit of things with the kids. They used to go downstairs from the beginning. And so we've changed that around a bit for the kids to be here, the kids to see us worshiping the Lord, so that we're passing on something to our children. And that might get a bit noisy and a bit wherever, but praise the Lord, that means we're alive. That means there's, as long as there's kids in the house, we're alive and we have a future. Because this is not just about us, this is about generations of our children and their children's children. And it's great to hear Jimmy and Caroline refer to the family. And this is a family deal. And also, they use the word celebration a lot, if, you know. But if you had to hear their story over the last number of years, like the difficulties with pregnancy, Caroline would have spent 5 months at times in hospital. Like, they've 6 kids, by the way. Like, there's a gangload of them. But, like, them struggles of living in Dundalk and being alone at times when we were all down here in Dublin. And just to hear you guys, I was really, really blessed. And your commitment to Liberty has been incredible. These guys travelled out in Dundalk to get to this place. And it's just been an incredible journey and watching them in all those years of meeting you. You are very welcome. I'm going to speak for the next few minutes from the scriptures. And I haven't got paper. I have my iPad. So if that goes off, we're knackered. And I really feel that this is a word for us. And I know there's lots of people missing from Liberty, but God knows who does be here every Sunday. He knows who's not here. And when he puts a word on your heart, but then you're like, on the way in earlier, I was like thinking, Lord, maybe I'll just keep this to next week. But that's not the way it works. But if you want to turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 from the King James Version. As you know, there's lots of different versions of the Bible, or translations, or transliterations and interpretations of the scriptures, and you will find one that suits you. You'll find one that some people like to read, like me, I like to read literal translation, and then there's other ones that are very free to read and very easy to read. But if you notice what Jimmy done earlier on, he took one scripture that was translated in one way from into it. Say if you have the NIV, the New International Version, it can be translated one way that way. And then you go to the King James or another translation, and they use a different word to interpret what the original Greek or Hebrew was. And it can change a whole scripture. It can change a whole tone of a scripture. And it's not that one is wrong and the other is not, as like who is translating it and what word they're using and what word, sorry, this is a stupid word, like what derivatives that they use, what other meanings that can be in the Greek or the Hebrew language for the same words. And I'm saying that for a reason, because I'm reading from the King James Version, and I don't normally read from the King James Version, but the word that I want to really, really pull out is in this, and it's the original Greek word. Doesn't that make me sound very intelligent, Joe? My sister's here today, and it's like, she's thinking, my goodness, Noel's got real intelligence. I got it from John, exactly. So here's what the Apostle Paul says. So this is not just any Paul. This is the Apostle Paul, who wrote a third of the scriptures, who was used to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into the known world, not to the Jewish people, but to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are us, the people that are not of Jewish descent. And Paul's role in the gospel was to bring it. And if anybody knows the life or has read the life in any way of Paul, this guy paid a price to get on paper what we read today. He was beaten, left at sea, robbed, stoned to death. You know, he lived in the wilderness. He lived in the countryside. It was like the history book says that there wasn't one place that Paul went to where he didn't leave blood behind. He was battered. He says, like, there's a picture of Paul that they depict from, like, all the batterings that he would have taken. He was small and bald, and he was bow-legged from all the beatings. This is the way this guy ended. He was in prison. He was deserted. He was rejected. You couldn't believe what this guy had gone through. So when Paul writes stuff under the inspiration of God. It means God wants to say something from all of the scriptures. And listen to what Paul says. It says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." So what Paul is saying, he says that let people judge us and take account of our lives as ministers of Christ. So first of all, I want to establish with us that we are all ministers of Christ. Anyone who is a believer in Jesus, you know the way we have, like in Ireland, for instance, we have like people that are clergy, we call them. And we have priests and pastors, and we have ministers, and somewhere bishops and archbishops, and you name it. And the more you go up in these things, the more regalia you wear, yeah? So it's like, you know, when you're up there at the top of the religious system, that you wear bigger hats and bigger cloaks, and it just seems that way, doesn't it? But the Bible never teaches that. That's one of the things that is so important to us as Liberty Church. When the Bible talks about ministers, it means everyone that believes in Jesus is a minister. Every single person that you can go and administer the things of Jesus to someone else. That's what it means. So you might sit there and go, "Who, me?" Yes, you. And remember the ad for the lotto with the big finger coming out of the sky, and everybody's waiting, looking out the windows, and next minute the big finger goes, "It's you." Well, that's what God would say to you today. When the Bible addresses us, or anywhere it addresses people as priests or ministers, it's talking to you, a believer in Jesus. And if anyone tells you otherwise, I want to tell you they're going against what the Bible says. I don't care what man says, or man's ideology says, or systems say, or churches say. The Bible is what's real, and that will never change. All the others will change. So Paul says, if anyone is going to look at us, what are they going to see as ministers of Jesus? That's what he says. He puts it like this: let a man so account of us. So if someone is going to give an account of you and me as ministers of Jesus, what would they say about us? And I'm using this, and if you're visiting with us, you're very welcome, but I want to use this to speak it into the very fabric and the atmosphere of who Liberty is, that this is a word of stepping up to the mark. This is a word of that there's more required of us as Liberty to achieve the things that God wants us to achieve. So I want to put that in. I want you to understand that this is actually a call from the scriptures from God. If someone says, "What type of minister are you? What type of ministry is Liberty?" What type of servanthood would they see in you and me? What type of playing our part in the kingdom would they see? What testimony would they see if someone was to give an account of us? What behaviors would they see? How we treat each other, what would that look like to someone who was given an account of your life and my life? That, because if we're ministers of Jesus, then we need to be people that do the things that Jesus does. We need to be people that love like him, that serve like him, that pray like him, that seeks his Father like him, that loves people like him, that if we're going to minister in his name, well then we are called to do the things that Jesus done. And not only called to do the things that Jesus done, but we are equipped to do the things that Jesus done. So you go, how am I going to do a miracle? Would God ever use me as a minister to bring healing to someone's body? You know what the answer is? Yes. Who, me? Yes, you. Do you know my background? Yes, you. Because you're not the one that's bringing the healing. You're allowing God to heal through you. You and I just have to be available to be used by God, to minister in his name. And I'm glad to say that I see a lot of the ministry of Jesus done through the people of Liberty Church. It's great to have the guys from Dalton's Barn down. But like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago in Dalton's Barn, like it was a fantastic week of being with the kids, having a team over from the States, with the young people. Like on the Saturday, we had burgers. You always have food. Everything in Ireland is around food. And a cafe, because you always have a cup of tea. So you build these things around these things. But you know what? See the prayer tent that was on up there? This is what I was told, because I went to a wedding. This is what I was told. That for 4 hours, the prayer team didn't get a 1 minute's break. He was on the prayer team here. Is that true? 4 hours, not 1 minute break. And someone texts me, Louise actually texts me and says, Noel, it's like the book of Acts is being rolled out in Dolphins. We see the work of Jesus. We were up in Clondalkin the same week. We had a kids' week on. There was the first day, 94 children turned up. We only had a counter for 40. We only had enough sweets for 40. And we got into the next day's supplies because 94 kids came. And then they were told they had fun and games, you know, all the stuff that kids love. And then Zach, who was with the American team, told them that God had a plan for their little lives. And 45 children at the end says, I want God's plan for my life. Then Zach went one further. And he says, does any of you kids need any prayer for healing? 20 little kids stood up. And he went up. And not one of them asked for prayer for physical things. But he said stuff like this. My mommy took it over. And daddy walked out on us. They were talking about stuff of the heart. And they believed that Jesus could actually heal this and make this better. Because he can. And it was their faith in Jesus. And the things out in Bray last Saturday, the prayer tent was rocking again. We had bouncy castles and prayer tents. And both of them were rocking. And people seeing the things of God. But Paul is calling our attention in this, to look at our own lives as individuals. And to say, as ministers, remember that word, ministers. And to see, am I stepping into where God has called me? Am I contributing to the bigger picture? Now, here's the word that I want to get out. It's a Greek word. And Paul uses this word for when he puts in there that as ministers of Christ Jesus. Well, that Greek word for minister is a bit of an unusual word for Paul to use. And if Paul uses words for if he uses a certain word, he wants us to get a picture of what that word. Now, here's what the Greek word, I don't know how you pronounce it, but this is how I'm pronouncing it. This is Dublin Greek. It's a word called huperetas. H-U-P-E-R-E-T-A-S. Huperetas. And the word is used to describe this. Listen to what huperetas is described, what he's describing. Huperetas were the very lowest class of criminals. So Paul uses a Greek word, and in this Greek word, this Greek word means that as the very lowest class of criminals in Christ Jesus. You go, that's a crazy word to use in that situation. Surely you should be saying, you know, as the holy, never get it wrong people, we're going to be the ministers of Christ. But he uses this word, the huperetas is the very lowest class of criminal that are the ministers of Christ Jesus. Now, why would he use that word? Why would he use that word to explain something, to illustrate, to draw a picture? Well, here is what huperetas means. If we change it as we go along, it's just because I don't know Greek. So huperetas in ancient times, they were the criminals that are assigned to live the rest of their lives at the bottom of the huge boats in a galley. Do you remember, like, you ever see the O'Neill Lion? Anyone remember the O'Neill Lion? You don't. Who's seen Master and Commander with Russell Crowe? Yeah. You know the big, big, old ships with the big sails? Well, the huperetas where they were in the lowest galley. They were criminals that were sent down there to the bottom part of the boats. And they spent all their lives seated in on benches, chained to each other and chained to the bench. And they had common oar in common. They shared the common chains and the common bench. And they were the ones that rowed the boat. They were the ones. Can you see some of Paul's thinking? It's that the huperetas, the ministers, are the people that work in the kingdom that make the kingdom advance. And this is why he was using this word. And he uses this word and he says, they're in the bottom part. They are the engine. They are the ones that get the ship from one destination to the others. They are the laborers. They are the workers. They are the ones that share the chains and the oar and share the same sweat together so that the task can be accomplished. In fact, they spend their entire lives living out of a group effort. Can I tell you, there's a place for us, the Hooperites, on the bench, so that we can all play our part in advancing the kingdom of God. And I love what Paul uses and why he uses this word. He doesn't say, you know, the Hooperites, or he didn't use another word that meant all the royal, all the noble people, all the highly educated people, or all the ones who are from a certain community in Israel, or that known word. He didn't use a word because he brought it down to the basis level of that we've all done something wrong. He uses something similar when he says in Romans that we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. That when them guys were on that bench together, each one had a place. Can I tell you, there's a place for you. There's a place, there's a part of the bench that you can sit on. And you can take a hold of that oar. And someone will go, let's go! Sound good. And everyone starts to row. Everyone says, hey, how did you get here? Done something wrong. The things that they had in common was that they'd all fallen short. They'd all got it wrong. If you ever think that you're someone that has never got it wrong, you're in delusion. If you think you're someone that has it perfectly all together, the fact that you believe that means you haven't got it perfectly all together. No one else they had in common, the chains. The chains represented our story. How did you end up here? I had a bad start in life. You know why I went to school? You know what they said to me in school? The chains rattled. I made wrong decisions. The things that they had in common wasn't their successes, but it was actually their failures. What they had in common was their brokenness. What they had in common was what's common to all mankind. We all have brokenness. We're all cracked. We all have gone wrong. We've all made decisions that we regret now. We've all felt the pain of shame. And they had it all together on the boat together. Now they were called to do life together. And is that not a picture of the church? Is that not a picture of there's a space for everybody? Is that not a picture of we all have chains? We've all sinned. We've all got it wrong. Is it not a picture of the church, or the way the church should be, is that we're in this together. To get to our destination, everybody needs to be involved. To reach the city of Dublin with the love of Jesus, it can't be left to a few. It has to be given over to the many. These ships were so big, it was impossible to be moved by one person. It took a team of ministers, Hooper rats, to move it. It required effort and strength of many people together, working together to move these big ships. In the same way, it takes many to accomplish the call of God that He has on us. And you are welcome. Sit on the bench and to share our chain stories and to put our hands to the oar. How many people made the great big day out happen in Dolphin Square? One person? Did one person cook the burgers, set up the barbecues, put the tea on, the milk on? Funny story about the great big day out in Dolphin Square. Somebody was gone to get milk, so we sent for 20 litres of milk. And then Gail was on one cafe and someone else was on another cafe. And then, not everybody, 20 people went to Jenny Swan and says, there's no milk for the tea. Now this is what 10 o'clock in the morning. we weren't open until 12 o'clock. And then another person went, there's no milk for the tea. 10 to 20 people came to her and says, there's no milk for the tea. And she says, I know what a national crisis in Ireland means. There's no milk for the tea. But it takes more than one person to turn this ship and to keep this ship going in the direction that God has for it. Together we work extremely hard. Together we reach out. Together we serve. Together we look after one another. Together we achieve what God has called liberty to achieve. And together we will receive the rewards of that. Together we will receive what God has to give. And when we get before God, this is one of my favorite statements that you've ever heard. When we get to God as the tribe of liberty, it won't be Noel going up to God and saying, hey, Lord, didn't I do a good job? There won't be no superstars or one-man shows, but we'll all stand up together. And Jesus says, it's the tribe of liberty here. We all stand up here, Jesus. And we get the reward. We will get the well done, good and faithful servant together. That when he says it to one, he says it to all. Why? Because we are carrying out a God-given assignment to be manifested on earth. Now here's the other thing, and this is where it gets down and greasy or down and dirty. That it's not just about the us, but it's about the you. The us is the important. Because what would happen on this same boat if the hooperatus, the ministers, if the people that were on the bench together, doing life together, they had to learn how to work as a team. They had to learn how to get on with each other. They didn't put each other down. You know why? Because without each other, nobody got to the destination. And when you read the Hooperatus thing and you see the people in the boat and everyone working together, you can understand a lot of other scriptures that come into play. Prefer one another. Honor one another. Forgive one another. Love one another. Don't gossip against one another. Don't be harsh with one another. You can see where this plays out, because if I'm harsh with all those that are on my bench, I ain't getting to my destination. Because all they have to go is, well, get there yourself. If they didn't row, victory and defeat was in the balance of those Hooperatus doing their job. Can you imagine a pirate ship? Arr. Why are pirates pirates, John? Because they are. What's a pirate's favorite hymn? How great thou art. Sorry, moving on. Sergeant's telling me to move on. There's another 452 of them jokes. Just happened with an hour now. Where does the porter get his toys at Christmas? Argos. See? Are you with me? How does he get there? In his? I can hear it all now at dinner tables. Where was it? So these guys are not doing their stuff. I'm not doing it because she's talking about me. I'm not doing it because, I'm just lazy. I'm not doing it because I just don't want it. I'm not doing it just because my background says don't do this. It's amazing one person's attitude can be the difference on the Hooperatus between victory and defeat. Can you imagine the pirates coming against? Well, they're the ones. Now everything depends on the Hooperatus. If the captain says we need to speed up, they have to get going. If they don't, the ship is motionless. The ship is not moving through the waves. And defeat is imminent. Such is the way God has made us, that we're interdependent on one another. And I want to call you today to step up to your place on the bench. I want to ask you a question, or you ask yourself a question. Am I giving my love for Jesus? Am I holding back? Am I allowing someone else, what they said or did or not say to me, hold me back from giving my all? Am I lying back and letting everyone else do the wrong? Am I giving of myself? Am I giving of my talent? And the way to determine that is, are you serving anywhere in the house? Are you serving anywhere in the ministries that we're involved in? Are you serving in the, look at all them kids. They need Hooperatus down there. They need some people that will jump in and start rowing that boat. In the lighthouse, down in Pear Street, they need people to jump in and start rowing the boat. On the door to welcome people, we need some Hooperatus. In the kitchen. In the media room. Up in Dolphin's Barn with the kids and the youths. How do I know whether I'm wrong? You can measure this in your own life. You can measure this in another way. Am I contributing financially to the boat? Or am I letting someone else pay my bills? You can answer that. I'll just let someone else do it. That's just me when I see all the bills. I'm going to make it into a bit of a dance. You have to ask, there's ways of measuring this. Am I giving up my talents? Am I giving up my time? Am I contributing? Am I rowing this boat? Or I'm not able? Says who? I haven't got the time. Says who? I haven't got money to give. Says who? At the beginning of the year, I felt the Lord say to me to ask Luke. So if you're a guest, you can ignore this or take on board for your own church. That if you're not tied, why? That's why? The ship is dependent on each other to get to the destination. No one can do it on their own. No one can make it on their own. You need me. And I need you. And I want you to look at the person beside you and say, I need you. We need each other. How can we even get through a process, or how can we get through grief without one another? How can we get through pains without one another? How can we get to our destination unless we have one another? He has designed us. Do you ever see there's one thing that happens to people when they get discouraged or disappointed? They isolate themselves. That's the first thing. Their friends ring them and they don't answer. Their friends text them and they don't text back. Why do you think that is designed that way? Because you can't do it on your own. And if your enemy can, or your own mind can siphon you off to the side, you ain't going nowhere. Because you need the other people on the bench to get you there. We need one another. There's people somewhere now sitting on their own when they should be with other people. We cannot do it on our own. And if we stick it out, we will reach our destinies. If we stick it out, the Lord will bring families and restore them, bless them, renew them, refresh them, set them on a path, set them on a journey. If we stick it out, we will be rewarded. And if you get it on the boat of God, He will connect you to the right people that can get you to your destination. I am happy to be part of the Hooperatus. I am happy. I am so glad that I found my place in life. I'm not a person, and you don't ever have to be a person to wonder, what's my purpose in this life? You don't ever, it's in the body of Christ. You don't ever have to go, I'm the only place, person in the world, there's no place for me. That's a lie, there is a place. There is a part of the place. Well, I haven't got a whole lot to offer. Yes, you have. It's just a lie that tells you that. And if you commit yourself to Jesus, I'm saying you'll be doing things in your near future that you would have thought was a pipe dream or someone would have told you. And when someone gets healed, someone gets saved, and families are restored, the whole Hooperatus celebrates. The whole lot of us. So if my role is in the cafe and we hear, why not tell you how many kids came to our camp? 300 young kids came to the camp. Every one of them told that there's a purpose and there's a hope. We brought Katie Taylor up to Dolphins Bar. Do you know what the people at Dolphins Bar said to me? It was one of the best nights ever. We were involved in causing people to say that was one of the best nights ever. In Bray, we didn't bring Katie Taylor, even though she's from Bray. And Katie's fighting tomorrow at 3 o'clock if you want to watch. And she has a lot of headaches if you want to pray for her. And the people of Bray said to our team, thank you for stepping up to the mark to bring in our community together. What an amazing honor. They said, it's about time someone done something in this place to bring the community together. And you guys stepped up to do that. Thanks, Luke. Isn't that a fantastic statement? Instead of, if you mention the church to people in this city, to go, the church, we don't have anything to do about it. Do we? But yet there's a group of people that says, thanks for stepping up to the mark. I want us to stand. And I want, if the worship team is here, Simon, on your own. But if you would ask me a song that these guys would sing in the Hooper office, what would they probably sing? I didn't work this out with Simon, but I think they'd sing that song, He Loves Us. Because I actually think it's a pirate song. And I met the guy that wrote it, and I really believe it's a pirate song. Because it's hard to sing He Loves Us without doing that with your hands. Isn't it? He loves us. Oh, how. It's nearly literal. Like, try it. Try to give your hand down. He loves. It's like all the pirates on the ship or something. All the Hooperathas saying He loves us. But here's the beauty of God. Whatever you need, the person on the bench beside you probably holds your miracle in your breakthrough. Because remember, it's the Hooperathas that's the ministers. Not the person at the front. Not the person with the big hat on them. Not the person with the cloak. Not the person with the blue jeans. It's us. Us. And if you have a need today, I just want to invite you, the Hooperathas, to put your hand on the shoulder of someone beside you or in front of you. And we're going to pray. And we're going to ask God. And someone put their hands on Joan and them. I don't see Hooperathas putting their hands on their shoulders. We're in it together, remember? And I'm asking you liberty. I believe God is putting this on my heart to say, come on, step up. No more holding back. No more not coming forward. No more letting someone else pull your way. No more letting someone else pay your way. If you can play guitar, get it from underneath your bed and get it out. If you can serve on the door or in the kitchen, come on, get it out. No more holding back. God's called you to work with kids and youth. Do not hold back from this day forward. You need to hear me. Do not hold back from this day forward. Give of yourself. Throw yourself in. Don't be ashamed of your chains. Be healed of them and tell your story. Put your hand to the oar and we put in the same effort and we put in the same hours and we put in the same sweat. And when we get a reward, we receive it together. So Lord, each person has a need this morning. There's people that has need for healing in their bodies. I say in the name of Jesus, be healed, be well, be whole. I say the shalom of God to be manifest in your life, completeness and prosperity in every aspect of your life. There's people that have pain in their heart, like those little kids. And they came to us and he says, we want prayer. And we prayed in the name of Jesus. Father, every situation that seems impossible, we speak possibilities and we speak results And we speak breakthrough into every area where people are needing a breakthrough. We pray, Father, that each one would hear you calling them to the Hooperatus. You are a minister. You carry my anointing. You are filled with my Holy Spirit. Take your chain and wave them and tell the story of how the Master set you free. Just say a prayer over that person. You're the ministers. You're the ministers. You're the Hooperatus. Be bold. Ask them what they need. We declare breakthrough and miracles and signs and wonders, Father God. We declare and we release, Lord, the ministers of Jesus, Lord God, to go out into the city today and go out wherever they find themselves, and they see signs and wonders and miracles and breakthroughs and places of servitude, O God. I declare over each person, God loves you, and he has a plan and a hope and a future for you. He is jealous for me. He is jealous for me. Love like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are, how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so.
He loves us.
Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Out of my chest, and I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh,
hallelujah, Jesus. How he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us.
Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. I want to remind you, next Sunday, I'm going to throw that slide up, TJ. We have a great big breakfast morning. And it's going to be a great morning of family and fellowship. And this place will be different. And we're going to have a good feed together. And we're going to sing song together and hear story together. And I'm saying that because you are very welcome. And I'd love you to bring a friend. I'd love you to bring someone that wants to see what church is like. And what a better way than to sit down and have food together and hear about the story and the love of God together. So I want to pray over us as we go. I want to pray that God blesses you and keeps you. And God does bless you. And God does keep you. And God does let his face shine upon you. And God does lift up his countenance upon you. And God does grant you shalom. The deep-seated peace of God. Just receive it from him. The deep-seated peace of God that brings wholeness to the body, that brings peace to the mind, that brings prosperity to your surroundings. The shalom of God is the very atmosphere that is in heaven. It's the very air that you breathe in heaven. And Jesus says, this is the way to pray. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we pray according to your word, Father. And I say to your people, receive on earth what he has in heaven. In Jesus' name.